I see like this weird gleam in Sean Morash's eyes because the Houston Astros are losing 3-0. And you know what happens, Tiki, when you're afraid of a team?
you rejoice when they get eliminated.
That's right. I'm familiar with that. Trust me.
No, I feel the exact scared over here. We ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah, but you're very happy that the Tigers lead 3-0 in the top of the sixth.
I'm happy that I'm going to be proven right, that the Astros are such a non-factor in 2024.
Well, hold on. You wouldn't be proven right about anything. I didn't say the Astros are definitely getting there. What I said is you'd rather not play them. Just like there are teams I'd rather not play. That's not a prediction. That's merely what I would prefer to have happen or not happen.
You and your Don Zimmer version of you managing here failed to realize that we all understand if we've been tracking the whole baseball season, you keep moving the goalposts. The idea was the Astros are going to be the Yankees' final boss, the final daddy, because like Tiki pointed out earlier, you guys can't just let baseball be baseball. It's got to be some kind of wrestling theme. And I told you, these are not your typical Astros. These are Joe Espada. They're a non-factor.
Well, so far, it's only game one of this best of three. The Detroit Tigers lead the Houston Astros 3-0. The Orioles and the Royals are just underway. And that's the series that does impact the Yankees, because the winner of that series faces the Yankees. It'll either be the Baltimore Orioles, a division rival that's had very good success against the Yanks this season, or the upstart Royals, who last year lost well over 100 games, 108, if memory serves correct, and now they're in the postseason. So that's the series that the Yankee fans should certainly want to keep an eye on, because they face the winner. More on the Yankees coming up this hour. But a lot was made, and I'm very, very curious about Tiki's opinion on this, on the contradiction that occurred after Sunday's Jet loss, where Aaron Rodgers talked about cadence and Robert Saleh talked about cadence.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to hit this yesterday, but it was very interesting.
So for those who missed it, here's what Robert Saleh said, because the Jets had a lot of pre-snap penalties, and what Robert Saleh said about cadence in the Jets offense.
Hold on one second here. Sean's jumping over my back.
Is he jumping on your back? Because I'll take video of that. That'll be interesting.
Just hold on a second.
It's okay.
I thought you wanted the Rodgers sound
Take a deep breath. It's okay. It's all right. Deep breath.
I thought you wanted the Rodgers sound from
Pat McAfee?
Yeah.
We'll get to that at some other point.
One good yesterday. There's obviously things that we just watching the tape, and we talked at length this morning already as a coaching staff, that there's definitely things that we can make better for the players.
Yeah, I apologize. So, my mistake. I take ownership of this. Robert Saleh talked after the game about cadence and said, you know, maybe we should uncomplicate it. Maybe we should change the cadence. And Aaron Rodgers brought that up to him at the press conference soon after. And Aaron said, or we could just hold the players accountable.
Right.
And it really felt like Rodgers, it was the first time, more than the whole fist bump thing, which I thought was, or the hug thing from Thursday night, this was the first tangible example of Rodgers and Saleh not being on the same page.
Yeah, clearly not on the same page, and clearly their interpretations of let's call it a disaster. It was part of the disaster from their loss of the Denver Broncos was all of the pre-snap penalties and guys jumping because of the dummy counts. Mm-hmm. At least that's what we used to call it. I don't know what they call them. But you go through a full cadence. You stop them, you try to get them to declare what they're going to do, then you adjust protection, you know, whatever the play if you have to, then you get into the cadence again. Sometimes it's another dummy count.
Right.
And so they had, five false start penalties in the game? And it was clearly because of lack of understanding of the cadence.
Now, why is that? They've been together all training camp.
To me, it's exactly what Aaron Rodgers said.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been doing it all training camp.
Right.
They were doing it when we were there. I don't know if you guys were noticing it, but they were doing it when we were there. And so every team does this. It's this lack of focus in the moment. Now, maybe it was the rain. Maybe it's the conditions. Maybe it's the frustration of not having much success offensively. I mean, the game started with a sack.
Yeah.
Right? So things just didn't start their way. And you lose a little bit of focus. Those things catch you.
Well, the thing that was concerning, look, this is a team that's still learning each other. And while it's not really acceptable to have that many penalties the fourth week of the season, I understand and I was accepting it. I remember saying this before the season, it's going to be sloppy.
Right.
And as long as they can survive and steal some victories and then gradually clean it up, I'm okay with it. Obviously, they weren't able to do that. They made too many mistakes. They lost an ugly game 10-9. What was concerning in that postgame was that Robert Saleh said, maybe we have to change it. And Aaron Rodgers said, or we can hold guys accountable. And it sounded like a really strong contradiction and a repudiation of Robert Saleh saying, oh, gee, this doesn't work. Let's change it.
Yeah.
Now, in that clip that Lugie did play, that's Robert Saleh the next day. That's Robert Saleh realizing, oh, wait, my quarterback doesn't want that, nor should we do that. We do need to hold guys accountable. And it was, look, I did think it was fan fiction 2 weeks ago when guys like Sean wanted to say, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers didn't hug him. He pushed him away. Like, we're reading too much into body language. What I read into is words.
Yeah.
Because words matter. And Aaron Rodgers repudiated the head coach after the game when he said, oh, we can hold him accountable. Yeah, that, to me, is more tangible
evidence. To me, what Aaron's response sounded like was, he's our head coach, but he handles the defensive side of the ball. That's not what the expectation is for the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
I hold them, these guys, accountable. It is my job to hold these guys accountable. It's Nate's job to hold these guys accountable. Coach Saleh, he's our head guy, but he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Basically,
that's how I heard that.
Is that unhealthy?
only... Probably not, because it's Aaron Rodgers and he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't need to have a personal relationship with you to work with you. It's one of those great business lessons. You don't got to like the person that's sitting next to you to do great work with that person.
What are you trying to tell me right now?
I'm not. Nothing. Because I actually really like the person I sit next to.
Oh, thank you.
I was like, there have been times in my career where I haven't liked the people that I've worked with, but we still did great things together.
Right.
And so that's what it feels like to me. Because Aaron Rodgers can't be bothered by the emotionalness of liking somebody. It's about winning.
No, absolutely.
He's not soft like that. He's not soft-minded like that. He's 100% focused. And I heard Matt Ryan talking about this, actually, on, I forget what show he was doing. It was one of the CBS pre- or post-game shows that he was doing after this weekend's Jets situation. And he basically said, you got to be an a-hole sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to say, this is my expectation for you, and not be friendly about it.
That's true.
That's the only way it gets better.
Aaron Rodgers was asked by Pat McAfee about this relationship with Robert Saleh. Let's take a listen and see if we can read anything based on Aaron's response.
There's always going to be messaging and narratives out there, and you have two choices. You can ride the wave, really a roller coaster, or you can say, fuck it, I don't care. And I'm the latter. You know, I don't get into what the conversation is going on outside the building around myself, the relationships that I have. The most important ones are looking a guy in the eye in a locker room or in a meeting room and knowing, you know, he's got your back, you got his back. Rob and I have a great relationship. We have since day one when I got here. You know, we have, you know, text message conversations, threads that we're in. Conversations about a number of different topics outside of football.
Egypt.
We got a good friendship. Yeah, he was interested in Egypt for sure.
You believe him when he says that?
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes we as fans, we want it to be this romantic, I don't know, situation between coaches and players and organizations, and it's just not that. Like, your life isn't like that. I'm not talking about you guys specifically. I'm just talking about whoever's listening. Your life is not perfect like that.
Of course
not. So why the hell do you think a football organization is going to be perfect and ideal? And just because it's not perfect or ideal doesn't mean that it can't work.
See, that's the key. I can only speak for myself on this. I do not need it to be romantic and perfect. I don't need Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers to cuddle with each other or one of them to hump the other one's leg like I did with Tommy Lugauer. All I need, and this is the key question, can they win? Can that relationship, based on the cadence disagreement or the lack of a hug or what you described surmising, hey, I got the offense, you got the defense, can that work and win a championship? Because that's what we're all here for. Now, we all know the Jets are a ways away from it. They've got a lot they have to clean up. Clearly.
Yep.
But the ultimate goal when you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's won four MVPs is, can they win a championship? So can that relationship, the way Aaron Rodgers is describing it, the way you believe it to be true, can that win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, but it's not about that. They're not going to win a championship, not because of the relationship between the head coach and Aaron Rodgers. They're going to not win a championship because The receivers aren't on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. The defense intermittently can't stop the run.
Yeah.
Special teams misses extra points, or field goals, I should say. Well, they're going to not win a championship because they're not clicking on all cylinders.
I agree. They got to clean that up.
Right, they do. But it's the quarter point of the season. They're 500.
That's right.
You're good.
Okay.
Right now.
You want to respond to that, Sean, the man who believes the Robert Saleh-Aaron Rodgers relationship will be the death of all of us?
Look, I personally disagree with Tiki. I think the healthiest teams probably, but I haven't been in the locker room, have a head coach quarterback relationship that's good, but maybe I'm being naive.
Can you believe this NARP? He's never been in a locker team.
I'm understanding that. Maybe I'm completely off, but generally speaking, I'd like to think the head coach and quarterback being aligned and the quarterback caring about that usually works. All I'll say is we're already in, though, a place, and you mentioned the last segment, we're worried about giving Aaron Rodgers blows because he's taken too many hits. He's clearly annoyed at some of the accountability stuff. Any way you slice it up, whether it matters or doesn't matter, what's going on between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets is not healthy. And generally speaking, I could speak to this physically, not health is not good long term. Bad health. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. The health of Aaron Rodgers is different than the debate of the relationship between
him
and Robert
Saleh. But that's mental health, too, between the two.
No, I'm merely talking about the physical health. Mm-hmm. He is 40, and we talked about this before the season. Hey, how many games is Aaron Rodgers going to play? And I even said to you guys, look, I think he misses 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, you did.
I did say that. And I didn't know how those games are going to be missed or why those games are going to be missed. But I do think, and I stand by this, if they had won on Sunday, I'm telling you, I would have been banging the table. He shouldn't play in London. I do think there's a difference between 3-1 and 2-2. I think there's more urgency to winning this game on Sunday than there would have been if they were 3-1. And when you have a banged up quarterback, it's kind of like in the course of a regular season in baseball. And I know it's 162 versus 17, but I do want to show you where I would think along these lines. I got this great starting pitcher, but man, I got to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Gerrit Cole, let's use Gerrit Cole as an example, and the Yankees are 45-50. I can't be that conservative.
Yeah.
I need Gerrit Cole out there every 5 days because I may not make the playoffs. If I'm 3-1, I would have felt better about he just got his ass kicked. I'm going to sit him for a week.
What the hell are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Evan.
What?
The Bills going to just lay down and die? Every single one of these weeks is going to be important for the Jets.
No, but Sean. I know that. That's why 2-2, I'm not doing that.
I know, but even 3-1, dude.
No, you're wrong. You don't want to know why? And I know this is not the occurrence, but Tiki, think about this.
Yeah.
Jets win, they're 3-1. The Bills are 3-1. If you sit them against the Vikings thinking, look, all right, this hurts our chances at winning, but we got to freshen up our quarterback, who do you play the following week?
Okay, you play Buffalo.
The Bills, the more important game, the game you need to win if you want to win the AFC East. If you want to win the AFC East, Monday night at MetLife, 2 weeks from yesterday, is a game you have to win.
God.
So what am I saying that's so my God worthy?
Perhaps you and I have different ideas about the Jets season. I was wrong. I apologize for picking them to win 16 games.
No, you trolled us on 16
games. I didn't troll them because I really believed that they were going to get this together.
Stop it.
But here's the point, man. I maybe you're just settling for the playoffs and the wild card round. That's fine. The Jets have a minimal window with Aaron Rodgers' age to accomplish something. And I understand about preserving and everything. They're not going to Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs in January.
Break the glass. We got breaking news.
Okay.
We got breaking news. Let's Tiki go. Demanded it. Tiki got what he wanted. Tiki said, it's not a story until this happens. Break the freaking glass. According to Ian Rappaport, Davante Adams has informed the Las Vegas Raiders
there you go.
He prefers to be traded.
Great. So let's get him to the Jets, and then Evan gets his wish. He could rest Aaron Rodgers. He could catch passes from Toronto.
Stop it.
That deteriorated quickly.
Yeah, seriously. You know what? I don't think he lied to you. So if you're just tuning in, you can rewind on the Odyssey app to around 3 o'clock. We had a discussion about Davante Adams and Antonio Pierce liking a tweet that said Devontae's never going to play for the team again. We played his
They must have had a blow up at some point last week.
Yeah, I think, and Tiki mentioned that you asked Davante Adams 2 weeks ago. How did you word it when you asked him?
Exactly as I told you. I said, you seem to be the most desired player on every team not name the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you want to be a Raider? And he told us, yeah, my family's Raider fans. I felt like I was finally home when I came here, type of thing. But obviously, there are challenges that come with being a Raider. They haven't had a quarterback, and they have coaching turnover the last couple of years.
Right.
And so you can see why it could become just unattractive for him.
Sure.
Workable, but just unattractive. They don't have someone who can take advantage of his skill set at quarterback.
Well, something happened since that conversation, because I don't think he lied to you. I think clearly in the last 2 weeks, this situation has escalated.
By the way, it was he gave us the same answer a year ago. Mm-hmm. We had their game, I think, 14 or 15, whatever it was. It was exactly what he told me this year.
Yeah.
And so something happened after that, whatever loss it was. Remember when AP called everybody out?
Yeah. He said, we're going to make, some people made business decisions,
yes,
and now we're going to make business decisions.
Yes.
I didn't watch that game close enough to know specifically what he meant, but I wonder.
I think it was guys not tackling hard, playing hard.
It was the Carolina game, by the way, the game they lost 36-22. I wonder if something Devontae did in that game is what caused him to say that, and he was a part of the business decisions they were talking about. In that game, just looking at Devontae Adams, he was targeted 9 times, tied for the most on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He had 4 catches for 40 yards. So very quiet game.
Was week 3.
That was week 3, and it was an embarrassing loss to the Carolina Panthers at home. It was a terrible loss. I mean, they were getting blown out in that game.
Yeah.
The final score was not even indicative of that game. So, I think it goes back to that game, especially when your guy, AP, said, we're going to make business decisions, too. Well, guess what? Here's your business decision.
It can't be a coincidence that he liked that post. It can't be.
No, I agree.
Now, at this point, you're right. But it's just, I find it odd that he would.
Yeah, that's well, Antonio keeps it real, though, I guess, right?
Yeah, he does.
I think Devontae Adams, and you know what? I don't know if you've got the time to do it. What game are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing the Giants and the Seahawks.
Holy crap, you're doing the Giant game.
Yeah.
I'm excited. What are you doing the week after that?
Chargers, Broncos.
Oh, okay. I had some ideas that
Raiders?
No, I didn't have a Raider idea. I had an idea of me and Lukey going to Philadelphia, but let's table that for when the Mets actually, or if the Mets actually advance. Anyhow, different story. Forgot what I was going to tell you. Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. Oh, you know what? You shouldn't do this, Tiki. You work too hard. Let's go to someone who doesn't work that hard. Sean, can you watch tape of that Raider-Panther game?
I'm watching it right now.
Oh, Tiki's already on it.
Tiki's way better than me at that.
I'm curious if he made business decisions, and that's where this whole thing blew up, that he was one of the guys who made those business decisions. Antonio obviously called him and everyone else about it. And 2 weeks later, Devontae has a hamstring issue.
Yeah.
And now he's told the Raiders, get me the hell out of here.
And
we know where he wants to go.
Well, there's a new contender that's emerged on that.
Go ahead.
We forgot about a pretty big team that's in the market here.
Big team in the market.
The Bills.
The Buffalo. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God damn.
There's a lot of widespread speculation right now that the Bills would be the team.
You know, this is a dream for the Raiders, because if they could get the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets bidding against each other, and maybe I'm naive to think this, the Bills are 3-1, the Jets are 2-2. I just want to remind Devontae Adams, Robert Saleh is a patriotic American. Meanwhile, Sean McDermott wanted to compare his players to 9/11 terrorists. Mm. So I just think Devontae should know the information.
Yes.
I'm not offering any opinions.
Be aware where you're potentially going.
Yeah, be aware, Devontae, of where you may go. You want to go to a team whose head coach is going to say, yeah, you want to be like a 9/11 hijacker? I still can't believe a human being who's still employed by the NFL got away with that. But hey, Sean McDermott may not get away with play calling decisions, but he'll get away with that disgusting act. So, Devontae Adams, if you have a choice, and I think he does have the power in this situation, you don't want to go to Buffalo.
No.
And if you're the Jets, you can't let him go to Buffalo.
All right, Devontae Adams in this game, 9 targets, 4 catches that you mentioned. Yeah. 2 of those non-catches were drops by Devontae Adams.
Huh.
1 was an interception, and 1 was a near interception.
Did it appear, Tiki, that he was making business decisions?
No, not him.
Okay.
Not him.
All right, fair enough. He wants out. Jets are going to get him. I actually have confidence about this. I think the Jets are going to get him.
It makes the most sense.
Unless there's a
non-obvious one, like Washington.
What? Look, Washington, right. Buffalo can't. Like, I get it.
Dallas,
New Orleans, you mentioned. I am not disputing that other teams wouldn't be involved. I think the Jets are going to be the most desperate. I do. And I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of pull in this organization. You guys love to say that.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers is on the phone right now with Joe Douglas saying, what are we doing? Why isn't he here yet? Remember when you were a kid? Are we here yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I bet you Aaron Rodgers is going to blow up Joe Douglas' phone. Is he a Jet yet? Is he a Jet yet? Is he a Jet yet? Hey, Joe, is he a Jet yet? Is he a Jet yet? Is he a Jet yet? I go all day with this. Is he a Jet yet? Somebody cut me off.
Shut up!
Oh, okay, thank you.
By the way, Evan, have you not learned from your past with your basketball team?
I have never learned from any example in sports
life. From your baseball team with the, your words, not mine, mercenary piece of crap.
Yes.
Why is this any different?
It's not. I think you know what it is? I think it's just strictly, they're in a bed right now. The Jets have made a bed. And I think when you're in the bed, sometimes the best decision is not to blow up the bed. It's actually to say, all right, let me go double down on this bed and see if I can make this work. And I don't think there's any doubt Devontae Adams gives the Jets a better chance to make this bed that we're all in work.
But he's already in the bed with Garrett Wilson. Why not make that work with your young stud wide receiver?
Because you don't have time. You don't have time to make it work.
How come they haven't made it work, though?
Because they haven't had time.
Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers haven't had time?
They haven't.
They've known each other for 2 years.
But Aaron Rodgers didn't do much in camp last year. Remember, he had a calf injury. And he didn't play in the preseason. They didn't have real reps together. In fact, we saw them arguing on the sideline. I thought it was a work. Now I think it wasn't. I'm just being honest.
I have some salary cap implications that are worth noting if you track this stuff. A trade this week would cost the team $13.5 million for the rest of the year. Each week, that number drops by $968,000. Adams, though, has no guaranteed salary on the book for next year.
Yeah, so what I would guess is going to happen is he will continue to have a hamstring issue. He will never play another game for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that's safe to say. And I think this trade will happen probably closer to the trade deadline of November 5th than today. And that's a long time. And there's a lot of football to be played between now and then. But based on the salary and based on the negotiation. I mean, if you're the Raiders, you want to get the best possible deal.
Yeah.
What I've noticed over the last few years is that even when you don't think a player should have the power to determine where they're going to go, it seems like a lot of these trades, guys end up where they want to go, where teams will eventually send that guy where they want to go. And I think it's clear that Devontae Adams wants to be in my bed.
Well, this is unique because most of these type of trades that happen with elite players, it's because they want new contracts.
Right.
I don't think it's because he wants a new contract.
No, he wants to be with
I
Aaron.
Think he wants, no, or he just wants to be someplace that can win.
And with Aaron.
And obviously with Aaron.
Yeah.
But if I was being fair and honest, if I was Devontae Adams, I don't know if I'm going to the Jets given what the situation is.
You know, Teak, I don't disagree with you. Like, the Jets have a lot of pieces that they need to have fit very quickly.
Yes.
They have a head coach that's proven nothing, and they have a quarterback that's banged up and is 40. I get all of that. I think that clearly there's a special relationship between Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, and that supersedes everything.
Of course. But he's 30. He'll be 33 next year. So if you're trading for him, what are you doing with him?
Mm.
You just paying out his salary and then hoping he's around next year? Like, it's just a weird situation.
Should the Jets,
you're not guaranteeing he's going to be here next year.
You're
also
not. Should the Jets trade for Devontae Adams? We'll get into it further coming up. 888-808-1019. We'll also start to get you ready for game one of the National League Wild Card Series. The lineups are out. The pitching spots are all set up. The rosters are set up. It's the New York Mets against the Milwaukee Brewers for the first time ever in October playoff baseball. We'll get you ready for all of it coming up.
Starting to hit me. Starting to get nervous.
In less than an hour, the New York Mets are playing a playoff game. And you know what's kind of crazy? The last time the New York Mets played a playoff game that was not at home, was not at Citi Field, was all the way back in 2015. Isn't that crazy? Because 2 years ago, they played a best of three at home against San Diego. So all three games were at Citi. The time before that was 2016. It was a wild card game. And they lost that game. And that was it. And so the last time the New York Mets played a postseason game away from Citi Field was game two of the 2015 World Series. Jacob deGrom pitched 4 no-hit innings. Looked brilliant. Looked dominant. And then it all came crashing down, and he got bombed. And the Royals ended up taking game two. They took a 2-0 series lead, and they obviously went on and won the World Series in 5. So this is the first road playoff game for the Mets in almost a decade. One quick note on the lineup, and then we'll get to some of your calls on Devontae Adams. We'll swing back towards the Mets at 5 o'clock as well, getting you ready for this playoff game. Francisco Alvarez is in the lineup. I said this last night on the Rico Bronya podcast I do. Because of the Brewer run game, I would have started Luis Torrens. I would have used him to try to shut down the Brewer run game. They steal bases more than anybody else. The Mets obviously have issues holding guys on. Severino doesn't as much, but certainly Edwin Diaz does. Certainly Adam Ottavino does. I think I would have gone to Torrens to start with the thought being, hey, late in the game, if I'm losing, I'll go to my bench. I'll go to Francisco Alvarez. But I'm afraid of Alvarez's defense, especially early in games against a team like Milwaukee.
Yeah, because they're going to be aggressive. They have confidence against the Mets because they just beat them two out of three. And so you got to do all you can to put your best defensive side forward. We know the Mets' bats, when they need to, can wake up, but it's just whether or not they will early.
217 stolen bases for the Milwaukee Brewers. It was second in baseball behind the Nationals, but in terms of stolen base percentage, it was actually number one because they were so efficient stealing bases. Keep this in mind, though, about the Brewers. They've got a catcher, and I want to warn everybody, if you didn't see it over the weekend, because this confused the crap out of my kids were not happy. William Contreras, the catcher for the Brewers, he has a walk-up song. Do you know what his walk-up song is?
No.
It's a problem. His walk-up song is Narco. His walk-up song is Edwin Diaz's song. So I started to get frustrated, and I love my kids, and I tried to be very patient. First time Contreras comes up, Spency. Was it Diaz? Where's Diaz? I said, nah, that's Contreras. And then Jet's like, did he steal Edwin Diaz's song? And I'm like, yeah, he's a bastard. He stole his song. Okay, we move on. Second half.
Did he actually steal it?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
Second time he comes up. Dad, is Diaz coming in? I said, no, no, no. It's Contreras again. Whole conversation. Did he steal it? Finally, I came clean. Not really. I think he just picked the song. Third time up. Wait, is Diaz coming in now? I'm like, can someone tell Contreras this needs to stop? I mean, I'm glad that my kids are all over it, but my God, William Contreras, you bastard.
Turn the volume down.
You're right. Good call. By the way, a lot of Met fans are going to be doing that in this series. Boog Shambi and Doug Glanville on the call. No offense to them. They're just not Gary, Keith, and Ron.
Boog's great. I guess you can lie to your kids now? Now that's all right for you?
No, I cleaned up the act. I lied the first at bat, and then the second time around, I fixed it.
But not because you felt bad.
I
still lied.
They beat the truth out of them, basically.
Yes.
They asked the truth out of you.
I think the first time I was comfortable lying, and then when I was asked again, I didn't want to lie again. Like, I was like, I don't want to do that again. So then I came clean and said, nah, he didn't steal it. He's just, you know. But my point, by the way, before I got to that was, you can run on Contreras, too. So I think it's really important if Lindor gets on early. And we've seen, even with the back issue, it doesn't matter, man. He's going to be aggressive. Mets have to take advantage of it.
Look, they can steal bases. Contreras is the popular belief.
I'm sorry you're here. By the way, if you want to do a prop bet tonight that's fun, how about Jesse Winker homer? He's got two homers off Peralta in his career and a payback situation because he was a Brewer once.
I like that. What's the bet number? What's the odds?
Let me get
that?
The odds here on my FanDuel Sportsbook app.
I'm glad Jesse Winker's in the lineup because Lugie brought it up, and he, of course, got that information from the Rico Bronya last night where we went through Freddie Peralta's numbers, and that Winker, he's smiling. Lugie's like, I did that.
I had to wait an hour just for you to read my email. I was only waiting for you to read my email. I'm like, how long is this taking?
I did read Lugie's email where he wanted to take bows for his positivity, but I pointed out, Tiki, that Winker is the only guy who's got, like, numbers against Peralta that jump out at you.
Oh, interesting.
And I said I'd start him. Like, I was debating on sitting JD or sitting Starling on who I would sit. They ended up sitting J.D. Martinez, and Jesse Winker is getting the start at DH. But yeah, Winker is in the lineup batting sixth against Freddie Peralta. We hit a couple of home runs again. So it's not only a good bet, I'd also like to, you know, him to hit a home run.
Yeah, very juicy odds, by the way, +750
okay.
To hit a home run.
All right. I'm going to do all emotional betting. I already bet a lot of money on the Brewers. What do you got, Sean?
In a world where Davante Adams gets traded very quickly here, Adam Schefter reporting, the Raiders have informed other teams they would, quote, consider trading Davante Adams for a package that would include a second-round pick plus additional compensation.
Hey, that was kind of right.
Done. I got no problem with
that. Isn't that what I said? Second or third?
You nailed it, Tiki. You nailed it.
Second-round pick and Hassan Reddick.
Done. No, at this point, I would do it. I'm trying to think.
I got to look and see if the Raiders actually have space and the willingness to do something like
that. Well, I don't think they'd want Hassan Reddick.
I mean, why would they need him?
Yeah, if anything, it would just be NBA-esque or baseball-esque. Yeah. Let's bring him in and just flip him somewhere else.
True, but you don't really, and it doesn't really happen
in
the NFL. And unless he's helping you win right now for the Raiders, which, again, maybe Hassan Reddick is getting reps with some high school team. I have no idea what he's doing. I don't know how he's going to be in game shape come whenever he puts on pads again.
I have accepted that that is just not happening, right. And I'll give the victory to Sean. I am honest. Like, Tiki gets his victory on Sam Darnold and on the Davante Adams compensation. I will give Sean the victory that Reddick's never playing for the New York Jets, and that's fine. Like, it is what it is. It sucks. It was stupid. The whole thing's a mess. But a second-round pick for Davante Adams? Done.
Right. Max Crosby is banged up right now, so you never know.
CBS's Jonathan Jones also says that sources believe that Davante Adams' trade would require teams to get permission to speak to Adams about a reworked contract.
Yeah, I can imagine that because, as you know, you were talking about earlier that his contract is kind of void after this season.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to want a brand new contract.
Yeah. There's dead money that goes back against the Raiders, but it's negligible. It'll be $13 million by the time this happens, and there's no guaranteed salary going forward.
Right. My only worry about giving Davante a long-term deal if I'm the Jets is that they still have to pay Garrett Wilson, who I'm not giving up on despite his struggles this year. Mm-hmm. They still have to pay Sauce Gardner, and he's going to get a ridiculous contract.
Yep.
Eventually, they're going to have to play Breece Hall. I know he's off to a bad start, so it's easy for Jet fans to say, screw him. Don't hold on to him. He's dead to us. Send him somewhere else. But they are a lot of young players that this team is going to have to pay.
But it's still 4 years out. All those deals are 3 or 4 years out.
Mm.
So you're not necessarily worried about it.
No, you don't have to pay him now, but these guys are going to want to get paid.
I think a Davante Adams extension or reworking of a deal is probably this year and two more.
Mm. So which is not that bad.
It's not that bad at all.
Yeah.
I mean, even big quarterback deals aren't more than 4 years.
Yeah.
For most of these guys. They're enormous. They're $250 million for 4 years, but they're 4 years.
It's amazing how this thing escalated so quickly. We talked about this at 3 o'clock, and it's like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything until he demands a trade.
Yep.
4 o'clock, he's demanded
on
a trade.
On cue.
Right. 4:30, here's the compensation. Right. That's necessary.
Right.
Let's go to Rob and Patchogue. How you doing today, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Evan and Tiki? How you doing? Appreciate you taking my call.
What's up, dude?
Good, what's up?
No, I think the Jets need to move mountains to get Davante Adams. I mean, even if they have to trade Garrett Wilson. Like you guys said earlier, whenever you trade for a 40-year-old quarterback, you're in a win-now mode. You get Davante Adams in there. You don't have time to, you know, you don't have time to wait for potentially Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers to get on the same page chemistry.
But Rob, I get they don't have a lot of time to wait. They don't have to trade Garrett Wilson. And so you can have Garrett continue to try to develop his chemistry with Aaron Rodgers while also acquiring Davante Adams. Like, you can do both. You can actually have a receiving room that features Mike Williams, who's amazing on these 50-50 balls, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, and Alan Lazard. That's a damn good wide receiver room.
Yeah, that is a really good wide receiver room.
So why would you trade Garrett Wilson?
You wouldn't.
You don't have to.
I think if you're bringing in Davante Adams, it's to give you that 1-2 punch. And Mike Williams is good, so maybe 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah.
Because, look at the teams that are feel dangerous right now. There's multiple guys who you can go to. It looks like last night with the Detroit Lions, who basically scored every possession except for the first one, with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and then Sam LaPorta, the tight end. Like, they have teams need talent around the quarterback.
Absolutely.
So why would you get one to give one away? It doesn't make any sense.
You don't have to. That is the thing. This reminds me of a conversation I had with Mike Francesa 20 years ago. I swear to God, it was off air, was not on air. We were talking about Johan Santana, or before he was traded. A very similar situation. Not really, but we'll go with it. Johan was available. Okay, Twins are trading Johan Santana. The Yankees were going after him. The Mets were going after him. And Mike looks at me in the newsroom, knows I'm a big Met fan, says, get over here, kid. Get over here, kid. I said, what's up, Mike? He's like, would you trade Reyes? Would you trade Reyes? I said, trade Reyes? What do you mean trade Reyes? Would you trade Reyes for Johan? And I looked at him and said, why would I do that? And he said, well, you want Johan? I said, I do want Johan, but why am I trading Jose Reyes? They ask you for him. I was like, they could ask me all day for him. I don't have to trade Jose Reyes for Johan Santana. I can get him for prospects.
Right.
And he still wanted me to answer on the record, would I trade Jose Reyes? I'm like, it's stupid. I don't have to.
No, exactly.
And ultimately, the Mets traded for Johan Santana. They never gave up Jose Reyes. They gave up a bunch of young pitchers, including one who went on a pitch-a-perfect game, but his career didn't go anywhere. Guy by the name of Philip Umber, for those who care.
Mm.
And so this Garrett Wilson thing is kind of similar. They don't have to give up Garrett Wilson to get Davante Adams.
And I don't think they would.
Nor would they.
I think that's a fan talking point, but it's not necessarily going to happen.
Speaking of a fan talking point, Luger, you have something to say?
Yeah, I just would like to point out to the audience that I'm sure is thinking this. It is week five of the NFL, the Jets with Super Bowl aspirations. Evan is talking about resting Aaron Rodgers, and fans are calling up talking about trading Garrett Wilson.
Okay, so trading Garrett Wilson is lunacy, okay, number one. I talked about resting Aaron Rodgers if they had won on Sunday. They didn't, and I don't think they could afford to rest him, but he is banged up, which was my point. And third of all, with Devontae Adams, he's available. This is breaking news.
Right.
Good teams are after him, whether it's Buffalo or Kansas City or the Jets. I mean, the Giants aren't going after him. I don't know why.
Because we already have the best receiver in New York and still will if the Jets trade for Devontae Adams.
I mean, second leading receiver in the NFL behind Nico Collins.
Out receiving the entire Charger team.
Yep. It's you know who's third, by the way?
Yeah, who is third?
DK Metcalf.
How about that?
That's the top two wide receivers, two of the top three in the game I have this week.
That's good news for
Look
Tay-Bank.
At you. You're all over it.
I am.
That's great trash talk, Sean, and I can't disagree. Malik looks like a beast, and so far the stat debate between Malik and Garrett Wilson is a mismatch, but I only care about winning. You can care about your fantasy stats. That's cool.
No, I care about winning, too.
I care about winning.
Well, I care about the one more win you guys have.
Well, it's one more for now. Hopefully that changes this weekend to two more or three more. I don't know why, and it's Tuesday. And my brain is all frazzled because we're 40 minutes away from a Met playoff game. I oddly have a lot of confidence in the Jets on Sunday.
In Minnesota.
In London.
Facing the NFL MVP, Sam Darnold.
And one of the most disruptive defenses we've seen in a long time.
I know. It doesn't make sense to you.
Brian Flores is going to come after Rodgers like you never believed.
I know what you wanted to say. You wanted to say he's going to come for that ass.
Yeah, think about this.
But I decided that wasn't going to sound right.
In the game in London, better quarterback, Minnesota. Better head coach, Minnesota. Better defense, Minnesota.
By the way, like right now, you're not wrong with any of those things. I'm just giving you a Tuesday feel. Okay.
You want to hear? Well, no, because I don't want to pull a Joe Beningo and read Evan's text messages on the air.
Better wide receiver, Minnesota.
After the Jets lost on Sunday, Evan sent our group text, "I'll never trust these effers again."
True.
You're trusting them 3 days later.
I'm not trusting them. I'm giving you a weird gut feeling that I have on Tuesday. Card subject to change. Maybe by Friday, I'm going to sober up and realize we're going to get our asses kicked in London. But I'm always honest about how I feel, and I'd like to give you the evolution of a week. Tuesday, 4:51 p.m., I've got this weird, odd, I admit, doesn't make sense, confidence that the Jets are going to win and play a lot better than you think.
And what are you going to do for the game? 9:30 eggs? I assume you're ready for kickoff 9:30?
My situation on Sunday is very complicated.
And what is that?
Kegs and eggs. Gotta be.
You want me to explain this right now?
I think the audience is worth noting while they're living and dying with every snap where Evan's going to be for the Jet-Viking game.
So, about 3 months ago, my wife comes to me and says, hey, we got to plan out our boys' birthday parties. Jet and Spence, both born in September.
Okay.
So, she knows the deal. She's like, look, I'm going to try to make them on Saturdays. If we do it on a Sunday, it'll be first thing in the morning. I said, great. So, my young beautiful son who just turned 4, Spence, his birthday party. It's on a Sunday morning, and it's very early. No problems. I just didn't think far enough ahead and realize that the Sunday morning 9:30 a.m. birthday party is the day the Jets are in London. Also,
So the guy who plans vacations a year out to go, the Mets might be passing through Washington here, didn't have the foresight to look at that London schedule.
So luckily, the good news that I have, much like I had to DVR a very important Met game 2 weeks ago because of a Spence birthday party, different birthday party, I got it all under control. I'm DVRing the game. I'll be good to go. No fathers or mothers are permitted to say anything about the New York Jets because it's our birthday party. I'll be home by about 11:30 because you know these birthday parties are very quick. And I'll watch the game on DVR without anyone bothering me.
Noon Mets first pitch versus the Phils Sunday?
Then I'll DVR the Met game. Like, everything will get pushed back. I mean, if that's the case, and look, that's not going to be the case. I'm not going to play at noon, but yeah. Well, I got no other choice.
You also have the Giants at 4:30, so when are you watching these games? Tuesday? What are you, the Long Island Railroad? You got to just push everything back?
Everything may be pushed back.
Happy birthday, Spencer.
Well, you guys can laugh all you want. I have a wonderful son who has a birthday, and I'm going to go to his birthday party, and no one's going to spoil the Jets, just like tonight. When I go home on a DVR'd Met game, no one's going to spoil it. My phone is going to be shut off. I have no other choice. It's the way the world matters, man. As much as I love sports and as much as I dry humped Loogie's leg and all that kind of stuff, and I'm crazy, and Tiki looks at me like I got 50 heads, I'm also a damn good father.
You are, and nobody's discrediting you for that. It's just funny that you're the ultimate look ahead at every schedule guy. I mean,
you know what the problem was?
You die in June for the Nets schedule.
And I did it for the Jets schedule, too. The problem was when my wife was putting the dates together and she said, I got a Sunday morning at 9:30, I just said, yes. Yeah. I didn't.
You were looking down, filling out Terenz in a scorecard and didn't think to look ahead.
That's funny.
You know what? It's going to be okay. There are big games every year that, unfortunately, circumstances lead you to DVR. It is what it is. I'll be all right. But there is a rule, and this is all to the moms and the dads out there. If you're coming to Spencer's birthday party, shut your mouths. Shut your mouths. You open up your mouth, we got a problem.
So no Philly trip over the weekend either?
Yeah. Depends. My wife brought...
What are you going to DVR the party too? Watch that on the way back home from Philly?
My beautiful wife, Sylvia, she's the one who brought this up. She says to me, so if they go to Philly, what time do you think they're playing Sunday? I said, it's probably a night game. She's like, you know what? If it's a night game, we could pull it off. We could do that.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah. She brought it up.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're going to go to this party at 9:30 in the morning. You're going to DVR the Jet game. You're going to DVR the Giant game. We're going to go to the Phillies-Mets game. And then you're going to watch all the games Monday morning before the show on Monday.
No, I think that this is where Tiki Barber is an inspiration to me. This is where I'm going to give Tiki a lot of credit. Tiki watches every snap of every Jets and Giants game. Every one of them. Never misses a play. Okay? Before every Monday we've ever come in, he has always watched every game. Meanwhile, he's in a different city doing a game at 1 o'clock every Sunday. If those circumstances arise where I'm DVRing the Jets... And then you're right about the Giants. The Giants are out. I will not watch the Giants. Mm-hmm. I'll pull a Tiki Barber. And at 2 a.m. or first thing in the morning, I would wake up, watch the game, and be prepared Monday morning.
The Commanders.
Yeah, I would do that for the chance to see my son have his birthday party, watch the Jets on DVR, and go to Philadelphia to see Mets Phillies.
Good for you.
Thank you, man.
That's what you should do.
That's right.
Screw them.
I know. They're just.
That's why they're on that side of the glass.
Damn it. There's a Reddit post.
Tiki and the foul. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-0 and